Well, good morning. We greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. I'm thankful to be here. I'm very thankful for what Matt shared. A lot of it's going to go very well with what I have put together here. I plan to share out of Colossians 3 today. I was reading through it one morning and I was thinking that either I was thinking it'd be a good chapter to have a message on, or it'd be a easy one. I'm not sure. But Mose texted me a lot not long afterwards, so I endeavored to have the message on that. I feel God's leading there. I definitely don't feel qualified to share on it this morning. As I look through God's Word, there's probably many chapters that I don't feel qualified this morning, but I endeavor to be faithful this morning, so bear with me. As I put this together, maybe I have a different view of what I'm going to share on this than what maybe you do, but bear with me this morning. And I am very thankful for the things that Matthew shared. They were beautiful. I have many of the same verses this morning. So maybe we can come to the Lord in prayer before I get started here. Yes, eternal Lord in heaven, Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I thank you. I love you, Lord. I just pray this morning, Lord, for your presence up in my life as I endeavor to share here. Father, I pray that you give me inspiration and you help me, Lord. I know that I get nervous at times, God, and there's times I'm very concerned about how my message is going to come out and how it's going to sound, Lord. But I pray this morning that you give me grace in my life to be concerned about how it comes out according to your will this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you help me as I endeavor to share here, Lord. I also pray for those attending the funeral of the family today. I pray for Willie, and I lift up Martin, Loretta, and James, and Betty, and Lewis, and Marilyn this morning, and Nate's, and Willie's, God. I lift them up before you this morning, Lord. I know it's a very difficult thing to put someone in the grave, especially your mother that you had a good relationship with and you love, Lord. I pray this morning your grace would be sufficient there today for them, Father. We just thank you and we love you, Lord. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to plan on just reading Colossians 3. I don't know why I picked that one out of the middle here. This is the middle of Paul's letters, what he's writing. He's writing to the churches at Colossae there. I picked out the middle chapter. And it says, Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. It says, set your affections on the things above, not on the things of earth. For you're dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, when he shall appear, you shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, or which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is an idolatry. For which these things, the wrath of God, come upon the children of disobedience, for the which ye have also walked sometimes, and ye lived in them. But now, ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheme, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. There, whether they're neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Sassian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, and meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel, even if Christ also forgive you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which that ye also be called, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace of God in your hearts. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do ye in the name of the Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as it is unfitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. For fathers, provoke not your children to anger, least to become discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not as eye service as men pleases, but with a singleness heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do heartily unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no recompense of persons. In the overall, all four chapters of Colossians here is Paul's letters. Paul's letters writing to the churches in Colossae. At the time, there was a man named Epaphras. He had oversight of these churches at Colossae there. He had oversight of the churches, and he was an elder, and he was leading out there, is what I'm getting from this. And after many years of leading out there, and many years, he became distressed with the church. He became distressed when sin and the wrong view of God, when it crept into the church. And he was writing these letters to Paul, and he was seeking help, and he was seeking counsel from Paul of how to handle these situations in the church. And he was seeking guidance, as I think we still do nowadays. And when we have troubles we face, we seek counsel and we seek guidance elsewhere. And you know, it seemed that they lost, like Matt shared, they lost the fear of God. A lot of the people in the church at Colossae there lost the fear of God. They picked up new ideas of worship. They were worshiping angels. They had all kinds of idol worship going on. They went back to the Jewish customs of the dietary laws, and they were walking this narrow path, and they were taking many of these new ideas with them. And Epaphras just became distressed, and he wrote Paul for help. And Paul, these are Paul's letters. These four chapters are Paul's letters. It's his response to Epaphras it's his letters to the church there. And he's just challenging them to a holy walk with God. He's challenging them back to their old, back to the faith that they left. And they were claiming that they were still Christian. They were claiming that they were serving God. And it was just Paul writing back, like he'd done many, many times. He wrote letters back to the churches to challenge them with their faith in God, and just to challenge them to a right belief in God this morning. In the first four verses, Paul is challenging the Colossian churches. He's telling them, if you're still Christians this morning, if you're still serving God, which they were claiming to be, and maybe they were deceived, he was challenging them this morning. With the first four verses that we're going to look at this morning in Colossians here, is I'll read the first four verses again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's telling them, set your affections on the things of earth. On the things above, not the things of earth. He said, for you're dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, when he shall appear, you shall also appear with him in glory. I'm going to go through the first four verses, and then we'll see where we're at, and we'll go through some more from there. Paul is telling them, if you are risen with Christ, he said, you need to be seeking those things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God this morning. Paul is just challenging them. He's challenging with that this morning, that they need to have the right view of God. And we can see, and what we see in these first four verses is the reality of God this morning. We see Paul is trying to tell them that God is real, and he's trying to tell them that these verses, in the first four verses this morning, they need to be a reality in their life, and they need to be real. That if they're walking with God, these verses are going to be real. They're just not going to be hearsay. They're going to be real in their life. If they're still seeking God this morning, if they're serving the right Jesus this morning, they're going to be seeking the things above, is what he's telling them, and not the things of earth. They're not going to be seeking angel worship and all kinds of idolatry. They're going to have their hearts set on the things of God. You know, the first reality to see this morning, in these first verses, we see the reality of God, and we see what he wants to reveal to us this morning. God wants us to set our affections on him. He wants us to have a mindset this morning. He wants our mindset to be conformed to the things of God and to heavenly things, the things above this morning. He wants us to have a mindset conformed to the kingdom of God this morning. You know, this mindset, it takes a faith this morning. It takes a faith this morning to have a mindset to seek the things of God, or we need to have a faith this morning. To seek a God this morning, we need to be assured that this God is real. And this God being real this morning in our life, it needs to mean something to us this morning. We need to be seeking him, and we need to be receiving answers from him. And that's where our faith comes in this morning. And I know that's a faith grower when we receive answers from God. It was for me. I received answers from God, and I received answers from prayers this morning. And them things helped me this morning to be assured that God is real, and that he's just not something that I'm praying to or doing on the side this morning, that God is real this morning. You know, if we don't believe this morning that God is real, most of the verses in God's Word this morning ain't going to make a whole lot of sense to us. They're not going to make sense to us this morning. If we can't, like Matthew said, if that can't be the final authority in our life, if we can't go to God's Word this morning and that's the final Word. You know, I know many people. I meet many people. I go pass out tracts sometimes by Myers, and I'll stand at the four-way and I'll talk to them as they come to a stop, to the stoplight there. You know, there's many people tell me, you know, more and more, they tell me they're not sure about God. They're not sure if there's a God. They don't know. They're not really being negative about God. They're just, God never done nothing to them. Never done nothing for them in their life. I'm sure He has, but they haven't, they got the wrong view of God, I should say. And they can't see the beautiful things that God done in their life. Nothing, they can't really tell that He's working in their life this morning. That's what happens this morning. If we're not sure that God is real this morning, these verses ain't going to make a whole lot of sense. The realities this morning of Christ sitting at the right hand of God this morning is not going to be real to us. We're not going to be able to seek Him this morning. And to be risen with Christ is a fairy tale. If we don't believe that God is real, if He's not real to us in our life this morning, to be risen with Him is not going to be real also. You know, Marilyn's mom this morning, last week, she had a real struggling last couple months. And Wednesday, she was pretty much out all day long. And she came to about 5 o'clock and she started talking. And she said that, praise the Lord. She said, He's coming to get me. And they asked him, what did you say? She said, Jesus is coming to get me. She went back into a coma. And I don't believe she spoke after that. And that's a beautiful thing this morning, to have your mind and have your focus and to be able to have your heart set on meeting Jesus and have that assurance and to know that God is real, that when I pass from this life, when I die, Jesus is going to get me. That's an amazing thing this morning. That's an amazing reality that's in God's Word that many people don't have that amazing reality this morning because it's not really real to them. The mind is an amazing thing this morning and it can go a lot of places. And our mind can think of a lot of things. And we can set our affection upon a lot of things this morning. We can set our affection on a lot of things on earth this morning. God's telling us this morning to set our affections on Him and to seek things that are above. And it tells us to seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If we let our mind go there this morning, if we let our mind go to the right hand of God this morning, it'll lead us to a holy life. It'll lead us to holiness in every area of our life this morning. If we let our mind go and we let ourselves be consumed with that thought of being at the right hand of God, it'll lead us this morning. It'll lead us to a death in our, it'll lead us to a death in ourselves this morning, to our self life. It'll lead us to a life that is hidden in Christ this morning. But again, I say without a right view of God this morning, without a right view of God this morning, these verses don't make sense. Being risen with Christ don't make sense. To seek those things above, they're not going to make sense to us. To set our affections on the things above this morning are going to fall on a deaf mind. You know, but to many people around the world this morning, they just believe in the idea of a God. They believe in God, but they believe in many gods. They believe in many different things that are real. And it's very complicated. God's Word, understanding God's Word this morning is very complicated this morning to understand what Paul is trying to tell us. These verses are very complicated. Paul is trying to tell these things to the Colossian churches here that you know, they're to set their affections on Him, but he's also telling us that this morning, we're to set our affections on the things above. There's people that I work with this morning that I talk to him about God and we share. And one day he told me that he believes in God, but he also believes in evolution. He believes that we evolved from other things, and you know he doesn't have the right view of God, and he doesn't really believe in God. He believes in the public school systems. He was taught those things in school, and he thinks he can't believe that they wouldn't be real. He can't imagine that they would be teaching him things that are not true this morning. God is telling us this morning to set our affections on Him. You know, it's very hard this morning to set our affections on an idea of God. It's very hard to set our affections on something this morning that we're not sure is true, or not sure is real. And verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, when He shall appear, we shall also appear with Him. When Christ is our life this morning, these things are going to be really clear. These things are going to be clear in our life. That is what God is trying to tell us. When Christ is our life, when we're lost in Him, we'll be able to set our affections on Him. The reality revealed in these verses this morning, Christ at the right hand of God. You know, when we look at it this morning, when we look at Christ sitting at the right hand of God this morning, and we look there, He's interceding for us. He has our best intents in mind. He's there this morning. Christ is there at the right hand of God this morning, interceding for each one of us here. And it's an amazing thing to think about this morning. In 1 Colossians 3:1, it says to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, and we're to set our affections there. Right here is I found something in the beside the still waters this morning about setting your affections on the things above. It says, set your affections, speaks. This is what Paul is trying to tell us, what setting our affection means. To set our affection, to have a singular focus, to put our focus on God and heavenly things. We can put our focus on God or heavenly things, or on the earth and earthly things. A singular focus includes not letting our thoughts wander at random, but taking them captive. As it describes in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We must keep our thoughts to confirm what is pure and wholesome, being constantly aware of what enters our mind. It is common in today's society to focus on the things of the world for pleasure, entertainment. In contrast, citizens of God's kingdom are going to seek to do His will. They will help fulfill Christ's mission on earth by calling people to repent, believe in Christ, and live to please God. Do my actions bless others this morning? Do they draw them to Christ? Do they bring honor to Him? If Christ is not our central focus in this life, we will never find that eternal rest, because that comes from Jesus Christ only. We must always be on guard, lest we get trapped, wrapped up in the thoughts of ourselves rather than on Christ. This can also surface in our reading materials and other things we do. Let us be aware that we do not become attached to the temporal things of this world, because they will all pass away. Only when we lay up our treasure in heaven will we hear these words, "Well done, thou faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." I thought it was a blessing to read that from the still waters there. You know, it's telling us who to set our affections on. It's telling us what to set our affections on. It's telling us this morning that we're to set our affection on the eternal, beloved Son of God. It's the same one we read about in 1 Colossians 18:20. 1 Colossians 1:18-20. I'll read those verses here. It says, He's the head of the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that He may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that Him should dwell, all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him be reconciled all things into Himself, by saying, whether be in heaven or on earth. This morning, this is who we're to be seeking. We're to seek the God this God who made peace for us. He reconciled us to Himself this morning. You know, if we believe this morning that God is a good God, and we have the right view of Him this morning, it's easy to love this God. It's easy to set our affections on Him. It says in 1:13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God, His dear Son. It's telling us this morning to seek Him. You know, I think Paul is asking the Colossians this morning, why would we not want to seek this God who done this for us? He delivered us from the power of darkness one time. He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. How about us this morning? How do I seek Him? How do I seek that God in every area of my life? What is this God doing for me this morning? Is this God real to me? We seek Him this morning because He is at the right hand of God interceding for us. The highest place of honor and power and authority in heaven and on earth. He is there at the highest place as God this morning. He is there at the highest place as God this morning. It tells us in 1 Colossians. Peter describes the power of this place at the right hand of God. He describes it like this. He's at the right hand of God this morning. It says in 1 Peter 3:22, it says, all power in heaven are under Him. All power in heaven are under Him this morning. All the power with the angels and all the authority are underneath His power this morning. And that's why we seek Him this morning. We seek Him because He has the power to change every situation we face. He has the power to change things in our life that we want. Things that we want to overcome in life, the way Matthew explained it. This Jesus this morning, we seek Him because He has the power to change Him. He has the power to change our lives. If we endeavor to have a pure heart in every area, Paul is telling the Colossians this, that Jesus has the power to change these situations in their life. For you're dead, and your life was hidden with Christ in God. This death this morning, it refers to the new birth in Christ. We were buried with Christ, and we're risen with Christ. Paul is speaking about a spiritual change that took place in our life when we repent and came to when we repented and we came to Christ for the forgiveness of our sins this morning. And Christ came into our life. Paul is talking about this death this morning. He's sharing with the Colossians. I'll leave that. Being dead to self this morning is an area that I have a lot of room to grow in. I have many opportunities to put this into practice with people I work with and people I deal with and the homeowners I meet. I work with various people that I could say that I work for many homeowners, some doctors and lawyers that are very... I have many opportunities to die to myself. They have everything figured out in life, and they know how things are going to go, and they have a schedule, and everything needs to be corridored down to what they want and what they need. And when things don't go that way, I have many opportunities to die to myself and to take the low road and to glorify Christ in that way. To my shame this morning, I haven't always done it right. I haven't always done those things right. And things haven't always gone good. I can tell you, the only way that that's going to bring glory to God this morning, and I can testify that if I die to myself and I can just be wrong, it'll bring much glory to Christ. It'll never bring glory to God any other way. When we die this morning, Christ can work through us. Christ can be alive in our life. When Christ works through us this morning, people will see the love of God coming out of our heart. They'll see the love of God coming out of our life this morning if we can die. If we can die to ourselves. We know that we have passed from death into life. It says in John 1:3-14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother this morning abideth in death. One of the greatest realities in God's word this morning is that every person that comes to Christ, every person that becomes a Christian has to die. Has to die to themselves. They have to die to their old ways. They have to come alive into Christ. If we have not died this morning, if we have not died to ourselves this morning, we're looking at this thing, we're struggling with it, we're struggling to let go. We can stand assured this morning that we can experience a beautiful life. I imagine Paul writing these letters and Ephesus reading them at a brother's meeting. And he's reading these letters to the brothers there at Colossae. And he's explaining these things, what Paul's trying to tell him, what Paul's telling him about the church and about their life. And he's just telling them this morning that they're struggling. I'm sure Ephesus had a group of people that were lifting up Christ and it didn't go the ways of the world. And I just assumed that they had a brothers meeting and they were hashing these things out about what God wanted and what Paul was saying. And Paul and Ephesus is just telling them some of them are struggling to let some of these things go. They're struggling this morning to let some of their dietary laws that are maybe bringing division in the church, or their worship of angels, or all these things, they're struggling to let them go, and it's bringing a division in the church. And he's just telling them, if we can stand assured, if we die to ourselves, Jesus can be glorified, and we can have peace. No matter how bad this suffering may seem, it is nothing this morning. This suffering or this life that they're holding on to this morning is nothing compared to what they can have hidden in Christ. What Paul is trying to say here, he's trying to tell the Colossians, many of them had been forgiven from their sins. But he's telling them that they need to have a new life. They need to turn from their old ways, and they need to leave behind their bad habits. And they need to. He's just telling them if they do this, he's telling them what will happen. He's telling them they'll experience the beautiful things that it talks about in Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, "Thou will show the path of life, in thy presence the fullness of joy. At the right hand of God, their pleasures forevermore." You know, getting a hold of that reality in our own life this morning. Is very critical to our Christian life, of learning how to die to ourselves. It's very critical to the survival of our Christian life, and very critical to the ministry, to our neighbors and our family, and to the church brothers and sisters, if we learn how to die to ourselves. You know, Paul is telling them this morning that when they die, the worst is over. The worst part is over. If they can just die and let that part be, I know with my own experiences, if I just allow myself to die, the worst is over. And I can have peace with God. Our peace this morning is our life hidden with Christ. This life that people walk in the flesh this morning, Paul is telling them, is nothing compared to what a life that is hidden in Christ. A life where we walk by faith and not by sight, it tells us in 2 Corinthians. You know, this gospel that Paul is speaking about this morning, about dying, if this could be more of a reality in my life, if this could be more real, if I could portray this better, there'd be much more glory given to God in every area of my life. If I could just do this in every area of my life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When I got to that verse and I did some thinking on it and I did some searching into it, I sit there and I just meditated on that verse. When Christ is my life, when I put that reality into my life, that Christ is my life, when that is me, when Christ is my life through and through this morning, when I live my life that way, it sums up everything. It sums up the whole book of Colossians. It sums up the whole first four verses. When Christ is my life, when I live that way, everything falls into place. When I'm consumed that way with God's Word, it'll take care of these things. It'll take care of all the other verses. It'll take care of the things in life, like dying to myself. Or it'll take care of setting my affections on the things above. My affections will automatically be there this morning. If Christ is my life, that's where I'll be. Or setting my affections on the things above. Verse 4 tells us, as we read verse 4, when Christ, who is my life, when he shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. It's telling us here, the last part of that verse, that Christ is not always going to be hidden. And I think this morning when those who never died to themselves and those that had their own ideas and they wouldn't die to themselves this morning said they're gonna cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on that day. They're gonna cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. They're thinking that they can escape the wrath of God. That's what he's telling them this morning. But there's gonna be those that are looking for that blessed hope that it talks about in 2 Titus 2, says about the glorious reappearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. Saying he is coming and he'll appear and we'll be able to view him in his presence and his power forevermore. How will that be? When it says, when Christ will appear, we shall also appear with him in glory this morning. That's an amazing thought, to appear with Jesus, to be standing with him this morning, to see Jesus coming back and we set our eyes on him for the first time. It's going to be an amazing thing to see. And all those people from times past are going to be there. All the Anabaptist forefathers are going to be there. And my mom and dad are going to be there. All those who serve God or are waiting for judgment are going to be there. It's going to be a glorious day for some and a sad day for others. It says, when he shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. Jesus told us this morning to let our light shine on earth so that that people can see our good deeds and give glory to God. In Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You know, this morning, no one did more good deeds than Jesus. Only a few people glorified God because of Jesus this morning. Only a few of the apostles that walked with Jesus give glory to God because of that. In fact, many of them this morning, they mobbed him, crucified him, and hung him on the cross this morning. You know, we should expect some of that. If we walk godly in Christ Jesus this morning, we should expect some opposition. We should expect some pushback in this life. But I don't expect that. I don't welcome that into my life. My flesh don't like prosecution this morning. But I believe that it brought the most glory to God this morning. The Anabaptist forefathers who were burned at the stake and remained faithful, they brought the most glory to God. You know, the martyrs, they understood what it meant in 1 Peter when it said to think it not strange when these fiery trials come upon us. You know, Benji had a message at Keystone a couple months ago, Benji Grant. He had a message on prosecution, and he asked the question that why the Christian world don't come under prosecution or that anymore. He laid it out on the board that he put the heaven up here, hell down here, and he put the Christians over here and the heathen over here, and he laid it out that they don't come under prosecution anymore because they don't touch each other's lives. The heathen and the Christians, they walk together, and the Christians don't witness to the heathen. And he laid it on that way because they don't want the opposition that the heathen is going to bring upon their life. They don't like the rejections. And I feel that in my own life. I don't like the rejection that it comes sometimes from sharing or witnessing. Sometimes you get really snared at. Last week at a gas station in Fort Wayne, I when I was pulling in there, I got some of my favorite tracks that I like to pass out, and I was looking for an opportunity to pass out a Which Resurrection track, and I pulled up to the gas pump, and I seen these four guys standing right beside the pump, and they had tattoos all the way down, and they looked like a rough group of people, and I didn't want the prosecution. I told myself that these are the kind of guys that are going to beat me up in the parking lot here. I'm not going to say nothing to them. I'm not going to share with them. And I got out, and then I felt really convicted that I wasn't going to share with them. I wasn't going to give them a track. And so I figured, you know what, I'll just be nice to them. I'm just going to be extra nice to them. So I went and talked a little bit with them, and I went into the gas station. And when I came back out, I was getting ready to get in the truck, and they got one of the really roughest looking guys. He looked over at me, and he blessed me. And he was just being a blessing to me. And then I felt more convicted. I got in, I'm going to leave, and he said, "Bless you, brother." And I don't know where to put all that stuff. And I don't know. So I got in there, and I was putting my address in the GPS, and I was going to leave. And I looked over, and there was all four holding hands praying in the parking lot. And I don't know what to do with that, so I'm just watching. Then I felt comfortable. I felt they're not going to beat me up if I give them a track now. So I look for those opportunities sometimes. And I went out there, and I took my tracks out there, and I give them to them. And they were on their way to their mom's funeral. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know where God puts all that. I don't know. But God wants me to be faithful. You know, I didn't give these guys much chance. I never give them much of an opportunity. I never give them much chance that God's grace could work in their life. I looked at them, as Matt shared, I looked at them and I judged them. You know, if you guys would know me 20 years ago, you would have much confidence in the grace of God this morning. If you didn't know what he delivered me from, if you'd know the things that I got into as a young man, you would have much confidence in the grace of God this morning. Sometimes I don't have the same confidence for other people. I don't see that when I see that way. And I shared with him a long time. And we talked for a while in the parking lot. And their hearts were soft. And that one guy told me, he said, "You know, the greatest relief, the greatest thing I had this morning is I know my mom was right with God." So I blessed him. And I left the situation be. And they gave them tracks. But I feel this morning that's what God wanted me to do. God didn't want me to judge them this morning. He wanted me to give those tracks to them. Maybe they're seeking God. Maybe there was some elements in their life that God wanted to help them with yet. But like it says in 1 Peter, they didn't think it was strange when these fiery trials came up on them. But I think it would be strange. If I would have got beat up in that parking lot, it would have been very strange to me that those things happened to me. It would have been very strange. But our Anabaptist forefathers, it wasn't strange to them when these things happened to them. I think what it's saying this morning, when Christ is their life, When these things come our way, we'll be okay with it. It won't be strange. When He is the creator of our life, when He is the sustainer of our life, when He is the redeemer of our life, when we pattern our life after Christ this morning, we'll expect these things to happen to us. In Matthew 13:43, it says, "Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." It says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, I'll go through the verses 5-11. Next. It says, "Mortify therefore your members, worship on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which these things the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience, in which he walked in them sometimes when he lived in them. But now, put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheme, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and ye have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after him that we have created. Whether there be either Greek or Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Sashwin, bond or free, but Christ is all in all." So we look at verse 5 here. Paul is telling us as a command to mortify the flesh. He tells us this morning, he's telling us to get rid of sin in our life. He talks about putting it to death. He talks about taking off sin. "Mortify therefore your members which are on the earth," he's telling us. He's telling us to put to death whatever belongs to the earth this morning. He's telling us to put to death all things that hinder our walk with God. He's referring to the sinful practices that reside in our body. Paul went this morning to great lengths in the book of Colossians. He went to great lengths to dispel the false teachings and of the men that were causing all kinds of trouble in the church. He was reminding the Colossians that they had a sinful nature to deal with, and it was the flesh. The body this morning is not necessarily sinful, but it's acceptable this morning to fall into sin. That's why this morning we are to mortify the flesh. Paul uses "put to death" this morning, and it may sound extreme, but he does this in a way to show the seriousness of sin. You know, this morning sin defies God and it defiles everyone who lets it ring in their body this morning. Sin this morning will destroy every relationship that we allow, that every relationship we have this morning. Sin in our life will find a way to destroy that. It'll destroy relationship in our families, in our friends, in our brotherhoods. I read somewhere that we can't trick sin, and we can't tame it, we can't train it. That's why it says we need to mortify it. We need to mortify the sin this morning. We can't put it in a drawer. We need to put it to death. There's many men this morning that repented of sins. There's many men that maybe Matthew saw last night that repented of a lot of sins, but they never put a lot of them to death. And they came back to life in their lives. They came back and they're ringing in their lives. The reality back in verse 3 says, "For you're dead and your life is hidden with Christ." It relates to a new life that we're to receive in Christ. But we still need to ward off sin. We need to put off any sin that's lurking in our life. We need to get away from sin. It's not okay to tiptoe on the line of something that's wrong or right. We need to clear ourselves and we need to put off sin. Verse 6 tells us, "For which these things, the wrath of God, come upon the children of disobedience." The Bible tells us this morning, because of this, the wrath of God is coming. God's wrath is His righteous anger against sin. God is holy this morning. He will not tolerate any sin in our life. This verse speaks of God's coming judgment against sin. You know how Matthew said this morning about, "Be holy, for I am holy." You know, God could say this morning, "Be patient, for I am patient." Or, "Be kind, for I am fine, because I am kind." He could say many things this morning. He says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And that encompasses everything in our life. Holiness will encompass everything that we do. It will encompass everything. It's saying, now as God's children this morning, we're not to fear God's wrath, but we should not be participating in sins which provoke the anger of God. Not only in the Colossian churches, but as also in the churches of Ephesus there, it tells us, "But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among us as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance of the kingdom of God and of Jesus Christ. It tells us this morning how these things in our life, if we have these things in our life, that we need to get rid of them. Paul talks about putting to death. And verse 8 says, but now ye also put off these things. It indicates that something has to change in our life. I believe the point in these verses is this morning that we're removing something from our life. We're removing sin from our life. It's saying, as a professing believer in Christ this morning, Paul is saying, why are these things in your life? Get rid of them. Put them to death. I know verse 5 this morning, it speaks on immoral sins, and it speaks on covetousness. I know this morning that immoral sins, if we fall into immoral sins this morning, and we don't repent of them fast, and we feed that sin, it's lust. If we feed that sin this morning, it'll take us very far from God. And it'll take us very far from the things that God wants in our life. I believe with my whole heart this morning that the gay and LGBT communities, I believe they started with unbelief, unrepented immoral sins. And they fed that thing their whole life, and it spiraled out of control. And God left these things ring in their life, and it just, they could never fulfill it. They could never fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it took them to where they're at today. It caused broken homes, broken families, divorces. Immoral sins will destroy everything. Everything that God intended for good this morning, it'll destroy. Covetousness this morning is greed. It's a desire to have more. And I know that greed this morning is a very broad term of sin in our life. Greed can be a desire to have more money, more things. It could even be more power. It's just not being content this morning. What God has given us in our life. It is not being content this morning with the things that God wants us to be content with. The Bible is telling us this morning, if we're living in sin, it doesn't matter what sin it is. If we're coveting or immoral, we need to put them off. And the way Alan says it this morning, we can't have a sin management program. We need to ward off sin. We need to get rid of sin in our life. We all know this morning, you know, we all know how bad immoral sins are. We know all about that. We know that those things are destroy our life. But what about anger? What about rage? What about malice this morning? It lists a whole bunch of sins in the same category. These things are a challenge to me. I'm not above these things, and these things convict me. When I'm sharing this message this morning, I'm not sharing to anybody. These things work on my own heart because I'm in a battle as I walk through this life with being pure. Matthew talks about God wanting us to be pure. I endeavor when I have my devotions that I'm pure with God and that I have nothing standing between me and God, or I stand here to share a devotion or an opening, that my heart would be pure before God this morning. You know, some of these sins, they don't look so bad. Maybe getting agitated or aggravated, they don't look so bad this morning. But it's sin, and God wants us to get rid of it. And malice this morning, I did not know what malice meant. One place in the Bible it said that we can be glad. It's like a joy in our heart when someone was hurting or a bad thing happened to someone else. That maybe it was a competitor in business. Maybe it was a competitor that we bid against a lot. And maybe things didn't work out well for them on certain situations, and we kind of rejoice in our heart. God says that's malice this morning. And these things go against the word of God, and it's very opposite to what it's speaking about in Romans 12, which tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. It speaks about slander this morning. Slander is a speech which brings injury to another person's reputation. And I know this morning that I was involved in that. How easy is that to say things that damages someone else's relationship with someone else, or the reputation with the church brothers, or with anybody. Slander is a very evil sin this morning. Filthy communication can just be bad words. It can be threatening words. It can be damning words this morning. When a person is angry this morning, slander and filthy communication will be coming out of his life. In verse 9, Paul adds lying to the list. He said lying is very bad for your reputation, very damaging to your family, very damaging to your church setting. These sins don't only damage your relationship, but they're not a part of God's kingdom this morning. I think we all know a person that, as we grew up, that we could say he has a struggle with saying the truth. And if that happens to us in our life, if we get that, it is very damaging. Having a lying reputation this morning is very damaging to your family, to be known as someone who don't say the truth. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." The words we use this morning, they matter. If we slander, malice, or angry, Jesus says in Matthew, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account for on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words ye shall be condemned." Do our words this morning, do they bring a peaceful atmosphere to our house? Or do they bring a struggling one? It says, "Lie not one to another, that ye may have put off the old man in his deeds, and then putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created us." Paul is telling us this morning, we're taking off our old self, we're taking off our sinful practices, and we're putting on the new man. And we're not to lie one to another. What God is saying this morning, that He's making us something new. He's making us something better than what we was. He's saying, don't lie. We're having a new life. And we're to be in this new life, we're to be renewed. This new life is to renew us into the knowledge of God this morning. We're to have God's knowledge with this new life. We're to be seeking. We're to be seeking God's knowledge. There is no spiritual growth this morning. As Matt said about growing, there will be no spiritual growth without the knowledge, more knowledge of God in our life this morning. We get that knowledge this morning from the Word of God. And we grow into the knowledge through His Word. We're to grow in His image. Early in Colossians 1:15, it tells us that we're growing to be more like Jesus. I believe this is the theme of the whole Bible. Is we're to grow to be like Jesus, putting off sin and becoming more like Christ. Verse 11, in closing. I'm going to be closing here shortly. Verse 11 tells us, "And not only did the new man put sin to death, but he also put away any barriers that divided people." Paul is telling them, not only did they put to death the new man, but they put away the barriers that divided the Greeks and the Jews. So this morning, when people have Christ this morning, when they are redeemed, people come together. They have a common ground. They have a love for one another. We know this morning that if we've been given a new life in Christ, we've been given the choice to live that life, and we must make a decision to get rid of sinful practices in our life. The Bible is telling us this morning, if we've been risen with Christ, we need to get rid of sin after coming to Christ. He wants to perfect our life. He wants us to ward off our old life and put on the new. Verse 12 tells us, because we are God's people this morning, we're to clothe ourselves with the characters of Christ. We are to put on compassion, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and patience. It tells us this morning in 13 that we're to forbear one another. Forgiving one another. A forbearance this morning requires a tolerance and a patience and a love. No, we're all different this morning. We all do things a little bit different. Maybe the way we do things, it can irk other people. Or maybe the way other people do things, it can kind of work on us this morning. But the Bible tells us this morning that we're to forbear one another in all areas. Above all these, it's telling us to put on charity. In verse 14, is that love that helps us forbear one another. It is a love that binds us together. Verse 15 tells us that we're let the peace of God dwell in our hearts this morning and to be thankful. The results of a Christian life this morning is peace and thankfulness. In Ephesians 4, it tells us to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 16 tells us how to live. It says, let the word of God dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching us in psalms and hymns. As Christians this morning, we're to set our minds on the things of God. In verse 28 of Colossians 1, it tells us, Paul is telling us that we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul had Christ dwelling in his heart this morning. He had Christ dwelling in his heart richly, and this came out of his life. If Christ is dwelling in our heart this morning, we will also be telling all men about him. Verse 17, Paul tells us that whatsoever word you do, in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, give thanks to God. And give thanks to God. We should speak and act in full consciousness this morning of everything we're planning to do, that Jesus would be, that we could do in the presence of Jesus. Everything that we speak, everything we do, everything we say this morning needs to be able to stand the presence of Jesus. We need to be considerate of everything we do, and that is with our whole life this morning. I think I'm going to stop there. I hope this came out in a way. I know sometimes I get going fast and maybe I skip some things, but thank you for listening.